Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who was this man Jonah? Why was he the one given the assignment that he tried to dodge, to run away from? Jonah is also mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. And a portion of that verse tells us that Jonah was a prophet. Quoting the part of that verse, the second half, "In accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet of Gath-Hepher." So Jonah is a prophet, and he's speaking to the kings of Israel. Gath-Hepher is a town in Zebulun. It lays in the northern kingdom of Israel. And when we hear that name Jonah, we don't think prophet of God. We think of a fish story. And that's quite natural to think of Jonah and the whale. And much attention is focused on the big fish, the great big fish. I mean, debating whether a fish could swallow a man. Debating whether a man such swallowed could survive. Some say allegory, some say parable, but what about the power of God? Great miracles are recorded in the scripture over and over again. The plagues of Egypt that brought deliverance of Israel, the Red Sea parting and Israel crossing on dry land and the Egyptian army drowning. Fire from heaven, as Elijah prayed, that destroyed, completely consuming the sacrifice, the rocks, the water, everything. 5 loaves and 2 small fish, feeding thousands with 12 baskets of leftovers picked up afterwards. The blind seeing, the lame leaping for joy. Leprous skin returned to newness and walking on water. And what about Lazarus, called forth from the tomb after being dead 4 days? And there's much more recorded in Scripture. Allegory, parable, or actual event? What does God say about this event? We have more than a hint. We have the Son of God speaking about this very event. Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 38. "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you.' He," Jesus, "answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here.'" That is the word of God. Now, Jonah's assignment: go and preach against the great city of Nineveh. Nineveh was evil, and there's a great evil there. But instead of going and preaching, he ran away. Then, after a little time out in the belly of a great fish and a prayer of repentance, the great fish comes to the end of the journey, many hundreds of miles, and arrives somewhere near the shore of Nineveh. There Jonah is spewed from the fish onto dry ground. There, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time: "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Now this time, wasting no time, Jonah gets up and goes into the city of Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Jonah enters the city looking like who knows what from his ordeal in the belly of the great fish. He enters the city crying out, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. Throughout the whole day, as Jonah journeyed, he proclaims, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. He finds a place to sleep. Day 2, 40 more days. The whole day he proclaimed it. Day 3, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days. Not exactly what you would call words of love. 40 more days and your home will be destroyed. Is that compassion? Are you kidding me? Telling me my home will be destroyed because of the way I live and the way I worship? Those are not words of compassion. Or are they words of compassion? What the world calls compassion and love, and what the world calls hate, may be the exact opposite of God's love, God's compassion, and God's wrath. Many things our current culture calls good and should be blessed. The Lord, the living God, has declared in his holy word as wicked and under his judgment and wrath. Humanity is not the measure of goodness. The holy word of God declares what is good and to be blessed. The holy word of God declares what falls under the Lord's wrath. Nineveh is under the wrath of God for its great and evil ways, especially the worship of false gods. Yet the Lord sent Jonah. As Jonah journeyed through the streets and alleys of Nineveh, the people began to respond, stirring in their hearts that there is a living God. Mend your ways, for there is a living God. Turn and live different, for there is a living God. Sackcloth and fasting, signs of mourning for their wicked way of life. That was the response of the people, demonstrating in action repentance of their former way of life, turning to a new way of life, believing in God. The king hears and responds too. The king issues a proclamation. Jonah chapter 3, starting at verse 7. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Nineveh repented and turned from their evil ways. The Lord had compassion and did not bring the destruction. Jonah preached the word of the Lord as the Lord commanded. Hearts were turned. Repentance came. Revival broke out in Nineveh. All across Nineveh, revival. At the preaching of Jonah, Nineveh repented and receives mercy and grace from the Lord. The words of judgment Jonah preached were words of compassion from the Lord. Can you see? Can you see in your own life that words of judgment preached according to God's holy word are sent to you with compassion? Can you see that those words of judgment you read in God's holy word are really words of compassion for your life? Compassion to bring your heart, mind, and soul to repentance. The words that get to you. The words that make you squirm in your seat, get you grabbing your collar. I don't like that. Are actually words of great love, spoken in compassion from the heart of the living God to help you see His mercy, to help you see His grace, to turn to Him in repentance and receive such love. Such love you saw me giving Arya in a hug, multiplied the universe over. In what we call compassion, our humanness has weakened the word of God. When we say something is no longer sin, calling it the compassionate and loving thing to do, we have weakened the word of God. In expressing what we call words of love, we've stopped wielding the hammer of God to break the stone-cold heart, the stone-cold human heart. The sword of truth has been sheathed, and the power of the living word of Holy Scripture to bring repentance to a lost soul is set aside. As a result, the great mercy of God, the immense compassion of God remain unknown by lost souls. Our task is to proclaim His word, His message, to reveal the fullness of Holy Scripture. Revival and repentance are the work of the Holy Spirit. Our task is to preach the word, share the word, speak the word. The task of the Holy Spirit is to work that word into the soul that is lost. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, as he's in the belly of the great fish, he prays it. And part of that is, he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Holding on to worthless idols, holding on to things that are worthless, hands cannot be opened to the living God in expectation of healing grace flowing in their lives. Holding yourself like this is so different than turning to God like this, desiring with arms wide open His forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Holding your soul closed and tight, arms shuttered against His wide open love. Or open yourself up through repentance to His great grace. Great grace could be theirs. Astonishingly, the great gift of God is freely available. But for some reason, such stubbornness, such pride, humanity clings to what is worthless instead of embracing the priceless Son of God. Grace is there for all people. Grace is there for you. Grace is there for you. The book of Jonah is much more than the story of a great fish swallowing the prophet of God. The book of Jonah recounts wonderfully the greatness of God's grace. The book of Jonah is a love story full of mercy and compassion for a wayward people in Nineveh. The book of Jonah points us to Jesus and the redemption purchased by the blood of Christ Jesus. For in Jonah, we are shown the mercy and compassion of God for a wayward people. The God who had compassion on Nineveh will have compassion on you. Turn to him and believe in him. And the compassion that you experience is the compassion for every wayward, lost soul out in the world. No matter how evil or wicked they may seem at this moment, God's compassion is for them too. Perhaps they will repent and experience compassion. Jonah preached judgment, and through that judgment was the word of compassion for a wayward people that God wanted to deliver. And as we preach the truth, Jesus died for sin. Sin is sin, and the wages of sin lead to death. But turn to him. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your ways, and you will experience compassion that leads to eternal life. Compassion that gives life everlasting. Mercy that frees you from all your sin and sets you into his very presence where he wants you to be. So in your own life, when you hear those words of judgment just making you squirm, I pray that you can hear that they're words of compassion to bring repentance, to introduce you to Jesus, where you can experience the mercy and grace of Almighty God and be given compassion that gives eternal life. Amen.